Because a woman likes you, does that mean you got to get caught? Mr. Hickok said. Well, Mr. Nye, I expect you know as much about it as we do. Why our boy was sent to prison. Locked away 17 months, and all he'd done was borrow a hunting rifle. From the house of a neighbor here. He had no idea to steal it. I don't give a damn what nobody says. And that was the ruination of him. When he came out of Lansing, he was a plain stranger to me. You couldn't talk to him. The whole world was against Dick Hickok. That's how he figured. Even the second wife, she left him. Filed for divorce while he was in prison. Just the same, lately there, he seemed to be settling down. Working for the Bob Sands Body Shop over in Olathe. Living here at home with us, getting to bed early, not violating his parole any shape or fashion. I'll tell you, Mr. Nye, I've not got long. I'm with cancer, and Dick knowed that. Leastways, he knowed I'm sickly. And not a month ago, right before he took off, he told me, Dad, you've been a pretty good old dad to me. I'm not ever gonna do nothing more to hurt you. He meant it, too. That boy has plenty of good inside him. If ever you seen him on a football field, if ever you seen him play with his children, you wouldn't doubt me. Lord, I wish the Lord could tell me because I don't know what happened. His wife said, I do, resumed her darning, and was forced by tears to stop. That friend of his, that's what happened. The visitor, KBI agent Harold Nye, busied himself scribbling in a shorthand notebook. A notebook already well filled with the results of a long day spent probing the accusations of Floyd Wells. Thus far, the facts ascertained corroborated Wells' story most persuasively. On November 20th, the suspect, Richard Eugene Hickok, had gone on a Kansas City shopping spree, during which he had passed not fewer than 7 pieces of hot paper. Nye had called on all the reported victims. Salesmen of cameras and of radio and television equipment, the proprietor of a jewelry shop, a clerk in a clothing store. And when, in each instance, the witness was shown photographs of Hickok and Perry Edward Smith, he had identified the former as the author of the spurious checks, the latter as his silent accomplice. One deceived salesman said he, Hickok, did the work. A very smooth talker, very convincing. The other one, I thought he might be a foreigner, a Mexican maybe. He never opened his mouth. Nye had next driven to the suburban village of Olathe, where he interviewed Hickok's last employer, the owner of the Bob Sands Body Shop. Yes, he worked here, said Mr. Sands. From August until... Well, I never saw him after the 19th of November. Or maybe it was the 20th. He left without giving me any notice whatever. Just took off. I don't know where to, and neither does his dad. Surprised? Well, yes. Yes, I was. We were on a fairly friendly basis. Dick kinda has a way with him, you know. He can be very likable. Once in a while, he used to come to our house. Fact is, a week before he left, we had some people over, a little party, and Dick brought this friend he had visiting him, a boy from Nevada. Perry Smith was his name. He could play the guitar real nice. He played the guitar and sang some songs, and him and Dick entertained everybody with a weightlifting act. Perry Smith, he's a little fella, not much over 5 feet high, but he could just about pick up a horse. No, they didn't seem nervous, neither one. I'd say they were enjoying themselves. The exact date? Sure, I remember. It was the 13th. Friday, the 13th of November.